Heyo, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Breton. Go by SEC Mike. Not today, VFL Mike. And there's everybody's favorite cousin, Go Big Orange Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
You know, I'll be honest. I almost canceled the show at the last minute. I
was No, you didn't.
Damn Tennessee with cousin Shane.
True story. Right when this thing was logging up, you know how they do that VOL thing with the hands. But I was like, I'm really trying to focus so I don't throw up a gang sign. You know, so I was like, you know what? I ain't even gonna do it. Hey, man, this is my absolute favorite fall camp preview. I've been looking forward to this one since I heard you were putting these things together, Mike. So how are you doing, man? Was it fun? I see a lot of comments. They're like, here comes 12-0, cousin Shane.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, I enjoy this, but none of this is fun. It's yes. It's brutal work. Doing these back to back and back. So the only fun part is presenting the information and hanging out with the cousins and talking about it.
Yeah. And it seems like the cousins really enjoy it, man. I've got a lot of text and messages on the old Twitters about the dog preview. So if you're a dog fan and you missed it after this one, be sure to check it out.
All right. So we delay no more, Shane.
Yeah,
we got to get into the action because we got an absolutely loaded one here. As always, Shane, what we like to do, we quickly recap last season.
Oh, yes,
we don't want to talk a ton about Tennessee last year. 8-5, man, that missed kick against Georgia. I think that, quite honestly, Shane, I mean, we've kind of discussed this to no end in the off season, but I think the whole narrative around Josh Heupel, I think it would be completely, turned on its head had that damn kicker just made the kick against Georgia.
Yep.
Bama, again, not Bama convincingly won, but you could make the case. Tennessee was about to score right before halftime. They were literally within the 5-yard line. They threw a pick six. So, yep. I mean, you're not going to win that games like that. And then Oklahoma, they were controlling that game convincingly, I thought, till right before halftime. You were there, and yep. The strip sack touchdown, and then Vanderbilt. I can't make any excuses for Vanderbilt, but point being, Shane, I mean, we're just two or three plays away from Tennessee winning 10 games last year, and yep. I don't think there's any heat. If there is even heat on Heupel, there would be no heat on him if two or three things happened different last year.
Yeah, I mean, we were this close, right? We were this close. I keep going back to the missed field goal there with Georgia. We had it. I go back to the Oklahoma game. Just so many miscues. Just stupid things that Tennessee did along the way. And I'm trying to give Johnny Short Shorts his due. He had a lot of great field goals in that game, and he deserved to win that title there in Knoxville. But all those heartbreakers, and that's what it is. It's heartbreakers. You know what makes me get through heartbreakers? Cause it's probably a good segue to Tennessee Legend Distillery, because I sure as hell drank a lot of it after those two losses. And if you are in Sevier County or Nashville, be sure to swing in and let them know the cousin sent you. Not only will you get a massive discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. So be sure to let them know that you are a fan of the show. And Brian will be sure to let us know as well. And if you can't get it, that's okay. Go to your local package store. Say, hey, buddy, we got to get some of this good stuff on the shelf. He can get it ordered, or she can get it ordered and sent to your local package stores. So come on, help us out. Help Tennessee Legend by bringing that Tennessee hooch to your town.
If I do recall, you were drinking after that missed field goal against Georgia.
Yeah,
that you one, were drinking Tennessee Legend.
It really sucked, man. It really, really sucked because, you know, Alabama was always that monkey on her back, and then we beat them a couple of times. Now it's Georgia. Georgia has this title. We've had some moments we felt like we should win. We had some moments that we probably really should have won. But, that one's slipping through the cracks. That one sucked. In fact, hey, we kicked that kicker out of here.
Shout out to, we'll get to that. Michael Dudley. Mike spends all day making these. Shane, 12-0. Yeah. And shout out Appreciate you, Glenn. Can we change the John Mateer lock of the week to the Soresby lock of the week? I'll go 9-3 with Shane's Balls. I think we might have to do that.
Yeah, I think so too. We may have to. Did you see the Texas State? And I don't want to ruin the preview, but did you see the AD coming out?
Yeah, that's, who cares? All right, Shane. So again, disappointing. That's fine. Yeah. But what you do, you look yourself in the mirror and you say, hey, we got changes to be made. And we'll get to that in just a second. But again, this is hilarious, Shane. Josh Heupel's not had a losing season in the SEC. Look at that. I mean, he's had a couple 500s, and that's not where we should be striving to get. But I've heard so many Tennessee fans say, well, he's just a 7-5 coach. Literally, he hasn't gone 7-5 since the first day of year. Let's not assign him a record that they haven't even had this year. So, but you could also look at this and say, hey, they're trending down. I think that is fair, given how red hot they were in 2022. So he's got to get that corrected. Here's his record against SEC, 5-0 against Kentucky, 4-1 against Vandy, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina. He's beaten each of them twice. A&M, LSU, he's undefeated, 1-0. Florida, 3 wins. Hell, Shane, if you beat Florida 3 times in Knoxville, they build a damn statue for you. Now the rest, Bama losing record 2-3, but still 2 wins. That's more than the last like 6 Tennessee coaches combined.
Yeah.
He's got to get that black eye against Georgia 0-5. That's haunting him, but he'll get them dogs eventually. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I get the frustration because you were there, right? You go back 22, we were knocking on the door of a playoff. You go 24, we're in it, right? It just looks like things are trending up. And then we took a massive, massive step back. And it wasn't so much about what I saw on the football field or the fans, I think. I think it's just the future. It didn't look near as bright as it did coming off that 22 season. So I get it. I understand the frustration, but I will say this about Josh Heupel. You know, it feels like it's a new coach this year. You know, he's not keeping his buddies around anymore. He realizes he's got to make some serious changes to get these Vols back in the picture. And I feel like that is a coaching lesson that Josh is about to show us this year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, interesting point here. I think it was Nero Ultra. He says Tennessee should be in contention every year, and they just haven't been. Now, every year, I mean, who's every year in the playoff? But, again, in 22, if we had a 12-team playoff, Tennessee's in.
Yeah.
Tennessee was just in the playoff 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So how many teams, realistically, we sit here in the SEC and say every other year – are a playoff team? I mean, Georgia, Bama, maybe Texas.
Yeah.
Is there another one other year?
Not in the last 6 years.
Right. So I just don't get, the negativity again. I don't get it, but I think Tennessee is going to be a lot better, Shane.
Yeah.
Thanks in large part to what you were alluding to. We've had some massive changes. Of course, Jim Knowles, defensive coordinator.
Yep.
He is one of the highest paid defensive coordinators now in the country. He makes over $2 million. So I don't think you're bringing in Jim Knowles if the program is not committed to your head coach. Mm-hmm. And perhaps equally as important, Shane, I think it's fair to say, even though Tennessee has been efficient, I think you could question the physicality and the toughness. And they went out and hired Indiana's strength and conditioning coach, made him the highest paid strength and conditioning coach in the country. He won the national championship on a Monday. On Tuesday morning, he was on Rocky Top already working with the Vols. So again, this is a level of commitment I don't think we have seen to date of the Josh Heupel era and trying to correct issues.
Yeah.
And again, we could sit here and say, you know, hey, had they made the field goal? Had they not had the strip sack against Oklahoma? Had they not thrown the pick six against Bama? Maybe you don't hire Jim Knowles. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't hire perhaps the best strength coach in the country because you're saying what we're doing is working. So in the end, maybe that's a good thing, Shane. Maybe, you know, those blemishes that were shown to all of us, maybe that's a good thing for Tennessee.
That's right. Maybe it was a... Maybe it was a sign. We had to hit rock bottom and win eight games. You know?
So here's a little snapshot, Shane, of how the program has done since Heupel took over in 2021. I just think this is interesting, Shane. Tennessee, again, every year under Josh Heupel, they have ranked in the top 20 in overall talent, but they've never had a top 15 roster. So again, a little perspective there. Now you could say to a degree that's on Heupel. You got to get the talent better.
Yeah.
But when you're winning 10, 11 games multiple times and you have yet to have a top 15 roster, I think that tells you that they know what they're doing when it comes to coaching.
Yeah.
As far as offensive success rate under Heupel, debut season, they were number 17 in the country. That big 22 year, they were number 8 in the country. They took a step back in 23. They were 25th in the country, 19th in 24, and then last season, number 5. So two of the last 4 years, they've been top 10 in the country in offensive success rate. That'll do.
Yes.
Defense, now that's a problem. Remember, we're starting to see some shades of red here. We didn't have any red with Georgia. Uh-huh. We got some for Tennessee. So the entire time under Heupel has been Tim Banks at defensive coordinator. Tennessee was 60th in defensive efficiency in the debut season, 58th the following year, so slightly better. Then 28th, took a big jump, 15th in defensive success rate. That was the playoff year. Mm-hmm. And then just hit rock bottom, 97th in the country. So that's why Tim Banks had to go, just abysmal on defensive success rate last season. And I thought this would be interesting, Shane. Again, why is Jim Knowles such a big deal? Here's his track record during that same time. He is, in 22, he was 15th in the country in defensive success rate with a number 42 talent. The following year, he was number 6, top 10 in the country, Shane, in defensive success with a number 54 talent. So this guy's getting a ton out of the talent.
Yeah.
22, his defense was 8th in the country in efficiency, 23, 13th, 24, 7th. Now, last year, not good, 69th.
Mm-hmm.
But hell, if Tennessee was 69th last year, they would have made the playoff. You know what? So, again, I'm just showing you the track record. It doesn't mean it's overnight it's going to turn around, because that's the whole thing. That's what you got to hear with Jim Knowles. You know, it takes him 6 years to install a defense. You know, I'm kidding there. But I do think it'll be drastically better just because it was so pitiful last year.
Yeah, it's the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's what we were doing. That's what Tennessee was doing with this coaching staff was, hey, well, maybe it worked this year. It worked last year, but maybe we'll get better this year. I feel like that's what's key about the strength and conditioning coach. That's what's key about this defense. These are weaknesses. Identify the weaknesses, cut the cancer out, and let's move forward. Now, it's to be determined if it was great hires, but right now on paper, you are correct. It does feel like a move in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's where Tennessee is on offensive returning production from last season. We covered this in great detail last week. So go check that out if you're interested. They're 49th in offensive returning production. That ranks 7th in the South Eastern Conference, and then it'd be a lot higher if they had a damn quarterback. So they are abysmal, essentially. 2% of the passing attack is back, led by George McIntyre, and is 69 nice passing yards. But everywhere else, Shane, they should be solid. Number 1 in the SEC in returning production at receiving, and that's with losing 1,000-yard receiver Chris Brazel to the NFL. Rushing, Deshaun Bishop is back. He is one of 4 running backs that return in the SEC that had over 1,000 yards, 16 touchdowns. Good night, Shane. You got to love that. And then the offensive line, they return 76% of the offensive line snaps. That's number 1 in the Southeastern Conference. And they literally bring back 5 guys with starting experience. So if I'm a Tennessee fan, again, this is what I'm saying. I get it. Huge question mark with the quarterback. But anybody that telling you that you know they're just eliminating Tennessee because they don't know who the quarterback is, they are just idiots, or they just don't follow this stuff, because Heupel has a new quarterback every single season.
Yeah.
And they're highly productive. And I think of all It doesn't matter the quarterback. This is the most talent that Tennessee is going to have to surround a quarterback of the Josh Heupel era.
I don't know where the origin story where proof in, is in the pudding comes from, but it's in the pudding, right? I mean, we're talking, like you said, every single year. This time last year, we're like, hey, we're going to grab this kid from Cal and pray to God it works. Hey, he's a gunslinger, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he becomes one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the country. You know? So I'm not worried, per se, about the quarterback situation, but I do know how important it is for this offense to stay efficient. When you looked at some of those efficiency stats, a lot of that has to do with the quarterback. Now, what does that – what makes your life easier when everything is good and hunky dory around you, right? You said number one offensive line coming back. We got some absolute units up front. We've got one of the best running game, which is honestly the heart and soul of the Josh Heupel offense. And then you pair that with offensive receivers that have the consistent, that know what's expected of them, because this is a unique offense that they run. These guys will stay on the football field the entire time. So, yes, I get, like you, the concern with quarterback, but I've just seen more times than not Josh Heupel getting the most out of that position. So I'm not as worried as some.
Yeah, maybe if he was Hugh Freeze, I'd be concerned. You know what I mean?
But yeah, the quarterback, the original quarterback whisperer.
Now, how about the defense, Shay? Tennessee returns 48% mm-hmm. of the defensive production from last season. That's eighth in the SEC. And again, how did I calculate this? Tackles for loss and sacks, passes defended, and interceptions back for Tennessee. And we'll get to the portal here in just a moment, but they went portal heavy to fix this as well. But they're 56% tackles returning. That's fourth in the SEC. Four of the top five tacklers from last season are back, Shane. Tackles for loss and sacks. Now that's they took a big hit there. They're only 38% are back. That's 14th in the Southeastern Conference. But passes defended and interceptions nearly half, 49%, eighth in the SEC. So again, we're not starting from scratch here. There's talent and a lot of sophomores. This is relatively a young group here. And then again, we'll get to the portal. They're really plugging in a lot of new faces here to kind of ramp up that transition to the Jim Knowles defense.
Yeah, we call this making room, Mike. Just making room. I mean, I understand the concern, especially because here I just told you how great it is to have all this returning production on offense. But, you know, I mean, how bad was that defense? You know, and I'm not saying it was so much individuals, right? I feel like that's going to be a little bit of the story going into the season. It may be more about the coaching, but how can you be super concerned, you know what I'm saying, based off last year's production?
For Tennessee's defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can't get much worse, I guess, but.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get into the transfer portal, Shade. 21 transfers in. They're all studs. 23 guys kicked rocks. They couldn't play here. According to On3, this is the 27th portal class in the country. 24/7, though, Shane. 26. We've always valued 24/7's opinion on this show. So we'll go with 26 here. I kid. But again, you'll see a lot of Penn State there.
Yeah.
I think Amari Campbell, the linebacker, I think he's going to be immediately day one starter, middle linebacker. He was all Big Ten last year at Penn State. Ori Williams at LSU. He didn't play a ton at LSU, but apparently he was just a massive surprise for Tennessee in spring. He looks to be entrenched as your starting right tackle, one of the best players in spring for Tennessee, so that's promising. Mm-hmm. Quay Moss, the defensive back from Kansas State, looks to be a plug-in play at nickel. Kylan Lee, a transfer from Auburn. He started last year for Auburn's outstanding defense. Xavier Gilliam, another Penn State on the defensive line. Shout out to TJ Metcalf's dad. He DM'd me, said, TJ Metcalf's the best safety in the SEC, Shane. That's a true story. The other week he sent me that. So I don't know, but there you go. And they got a kicker, Shane Cooper Ranveer from Louisville. He was all ACC. So maybe they finally have a kicker.
Uh-huh.
And I put Chaz Coleman all the way at the bottom. I'll be honest with you, Shane. I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah.
For Tennessee, I don't think we'll ever see him in a Tennessee uniform, but I don't want to look like an idiot and not have him on the list in case he decides to suit up and he's all world and he wins the Heisman this year. But again, as of this recording, June 10th, he's still on the roster to my knowledge, but I do not expect that he will be by the time the season rolls around, you know?
You'll see him at the Tennessee dealership or the Tennessee mall. But you may not see him in Tennessee uniform. So that one hurts. That one hurts, but it shouldn't be the only storyline. But, you know, for the portal, man, I feel like we got some real hitters here. There was a little bit of a miss, man. I'm taking you back. I know we really wanted some receivers. There were some big names floating around. Chaz Coleman, I mean, that edge player is somebody we really need. And if it's not him, we needed somebody in that position. So there was a couple of misses here in this portal, and it's just a shame we had to tie up all these resources. Now, if he comes back, then I'm glad we did it, you know. But but till then, you know, Chaz, you're on standby.
It's one of those. It's the classic Vol move, right, where you celebrate, damn, we beat Ohio State to get Chaz Coleman, suck it.
Yeah.
And then – oh, man, should have let him go to Ohio State. You know what?
Exactly. Damn, we could have got like three other guys. So that's all right. That's all right. We'll play it out. Maybe Chaz is just, you know, he's just figuring it out.
Now, shout out, again, I highlighted Tennessee's not had a top 15 roster.
Yeah.
Under Heupel. That may be changing, Shane. Number 9 recruiting class in the country just signed by the Vols. Number 4 in the SEC. That's life in the SEC, Shane. You've got a top 10 class. Not even top 3 in the conference. But some of the guys they got, Shane, a couple of 5-stars. Faison Brandon, of course, a name Tennessee fans know well at this point in time. Some regard him as the top quarterback prospect in the country. Tristan Keyes, the number 2 receiver. So star power there. Number 4 linebacker, TJ White. Number 5 linebacker, Braden Rouse. Joel Wyatt, number 5 safety. And Gabriel Osenda, number 10 offensive tackle. Kind of highlight the recruiting class, but a very deep, very talented class, a ton of 4-stars coming to Tennessee. So I think that's good news for Tennessee. They're still kind of, it's a little new school, a little old school where you're going via the portal, but you're not, you're not going away from high school recruiting, which I still think you got to do if you want to build a program that sustains itself.
Honestly, the first team that figures that out will be the one that creates a new dynasty, you know, and it's tough. I don't know
if there's dynasties anymore. I'll be honest with you. Like Indiana. Well, I don't even think they're going to make the playoff this year.
If you could create something where you kids don't leave, they just keep growing. I would venture to say that there is an opportunity. I guess what is your definition of dynasty, right? 10 years, 5 years. I'm just saying if you're going to have a team in the SEC or any conference having an extreme run, if you will, of dominance, I feel like it's going to have to start with recruiting and retaining. And so I would love to see that. You know, it's funny. You were talking the other day about the portals, you know, has more talk than the actual recruiting class, but you know, you get a top 10, then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we're back, baby. We're back. So
portal's overrated.
Exactly.
You know who's that overrated?
Roll Tide.
For them boys in Tuscaloosa, it's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up. Here's an orange donation.
Well, I appreciate it. It's tough to say those words, but I owe it to you, Steven Up. Thank you, guys.
Everybody's coming around to the orange these days. You know what?
Looks good. It's a slimming color.
Just trying to jump on the bandwagon. That's, you know,
it. Get on it while you can, because we're about to do something special up here in Knoxville.
All right, Shay, let's break it down. Mm-hmm. My best attempt. And this is like the most difficult part for me, but the depth chart, because this is probably going to be outdated relatively soon once fall camp gets here. But ranking it by position group, I think Tennessee, again, you see a lot of bold there. Bold is a returning starter, not a ton of transfers. which I think is good for Tennessee. But give me the offensive line, Shane. I think that's going to be the standout group probably of the entire football team.
Yeah.
You got David Sanders, true sophomore. He was a freshman All-American last year, 6 starts, 480 snaps. You got Wendell Moe at left guard. He was All-SEC last year, Shane, 11 starts. He was the highest-rated offensive lineman on the team, according to Pro Football Focus. At center, Sam Pendleton, he started every game, over 800 snaps. Jesse Perry at right guard, he was a second-team freshman All-American, according to The Athletic. He had 750 snaps, 12 starts last year. And then Shamrov Umarov, he had 10 starts last year, Shane, 758 snaps. And then we had Ori Williams, the LSU transfer. They got the borderline five-star recruit. I think Tennessee is very, very deep.
Yeah.
And our buddy Dave Bartu, Matrix Analytical, he's got Glenn Ellerbe, the offensive line coach, as a top three offensive line coach in the conference. So they're talented. They're coached well. I think they should be the strength of the football team as well.
I love it. I love it, man. You know, we don't talk about them big uglies enough. And I'm looking at this and, you know, this, they have potential to bring most of these guys back the next year. So, yeah, this is going to be an absolute dominant unit. And I'm looking forward to what they're going to be able to do.
All right. And the next position group, Shane, give me the receivers and the tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Braylon Staley's back. I didn't even know they gave this award out, but you know, I just always heard offensive freshman of the year.
Yeah.
SEC freshman of the year is what he got last year. Nice. 68 catches, 837 yards, 6 touchdowns. He was outstanding. Mike Matthews back for another season. He had a breakout last year. 13 starts, 53 catches, 813 yards, 4 touchdowns. They got Ethan Davis at tight end. He was the backup last year. He's battled injury, but he's a very, very good player. Mm-hmm. And then two names to know, Radarius Jackson and Travis Smith, two sophomores that they made some plays last year. They were big in camp, but Heupel just doesn't really rotate his guys that much. So
right.
I look for one of those guys, if not both of them, to kind of have breakouts. It seems like, for whatever reason, these receivers always have, it takes them 2 years, whether they're a transfer or high school, to break out in this Heupel system. So could be one of them, could be both of them. I don't know, but I think they're pretty good. And don't forget Deshaun Brame, speaking of second year, he's the tight end, very, very talented. I think this is a dangerous, dangerous group here. And then throw in the five-star freshman, Tristan Keys. But
yeah,
you just go back to what I said. It usually, for whatever reason, takes a year. So I don't think he's going to make a huge, huge impact. But if he's special, I think you probably got to put him on the field.
Well, and there's some really good wide receivers out there, you know? So, like I was saying earlier, Heupel's not going to substitute often because he doesn't want to give the other team opportunity to put defenders out there. But if he can earn a couple of starts, it wouldn't blow my mind if Tristan Keys takes that step. I mean, I'm just going off what people have said. I mean, they're talking some good shit about this kid.
Good now, shit.
Yeah. Put that in your book, Steve-O.
Hey, shout out G's Roval. Brodo. So appreciate you, G's.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. 1998 right. Would have been the perfect donation there. 99 was good too.
All right. Next position, Shade. Now here the rest of it's a little concerning for me, particularly depth wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been singing the praises of Deshaun Bishop. So give me running backs next. Again, over 1,000 yards last year, 16 touchdowns. Incredible breakout year. He could be, I thought it was just hilarious, Shade. Again, this is no shade at Jaden Ball. We've said nothing but positive things about Jaden Ball.
Mm-hmm.
But the Florida fans, when I said, well, Ball or Bishop, and it's like they don't even know who this guy is. he rushed for damn near 200 yards on their ass last year. So
yeah.
I would get to know the name Deshaun Bishop. He may lead the SEC with that offensive line. He may lead the SEC in rushing this year. Now behind him is a little bit unknown. Dwayne Morris, they got the transfer Javon Gordon. He was a Tulane. He is a Tulane transfer, scored a 61-yard touchdown in the spring game. He had 516 yards for Tulane last year. I'm a little concerned about the depth there at running back, but again, you got a stud.
Yeah.
And Tennessee's had that before, and they've rode them to the college football playoff, but I don't know how realistic that is with a 9-game SEC. Like some guys got to emerge there, I think.
They do. But I mean, Bishop's got the body to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like he can be that bell cow, but I don't know, man. It just feels like Hopple really wants to push toward a committee, you know, having fresh legs out there. So yeah, we're going to have somebody step up, but it wouldn't blow my mind if there's a name we're not talking about that we are by this time next year, you know?
Right. So then last but not least, of course, quarterbacks. And that's, yeah. Again, that's not where you want to be last. But, but again, that's just because they haven't done anything yet. George McIntyre was a touted prospect. Faison Brandon, extremely touted prospect. They got the transfer Ryan Staub from Colorado. So we'll see who emerges there. But until we actually see it, I don't care what good shit they're saying, Shane. We gotta see it before we just kind of give them their due. You know what?
Yeah, and it's just kind of, I guess the one conversation you talk about Josh Hopple is where's our guys, right? We saw that with Nico, but other than that, name a quarterback that was recruited and went out there and performed. So that has to do it this year. No transfer portal quarterback going to come in here and save the day. So I feel like it's going to be one of these two boys. But yeah, this I feel like there's a little pressure in that room.
Maybe Heupel can't recruit Stop quarterbacks.
It. Stop it. It's optimistic Vols.
Okay.
Yeah, he got the one, and he's starting.
All right, defensive depth chart, Shane. So again, as opposed to Georgia, does anything stand out to you, Shane?
A lot of orange here, man.
A lot of orange here. So all across the two deep, Tennessee, again, they're trying to fix this defense with transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they brought in a transfer linebacker, but I was just about to say, give me linebackers, because if Tennessee's offensive line isn't the best position group, it's going to be the linebackers.
Yeah.
They bring back Arion Carter. He was second team all SEC. Jeremiah Tealander had 80 tackles, 13 starts. Edwin Spillman, he was freshman All-American, 81 tackles. He led the team, Shane. He didn't even start, and he's back. And then again, they're bringing in the transfer, Amari Campbell from Penn State. Mm-hmm. They got Paralu and Harmon, also players that played last year, got some depth there. Campbell there was, he's got 193 career tackles. I mean, just a tackling machine back there. And he was all Big Ten last year. So the biggest thing for me, Shade, is, and I'm sure Jim Knowles will adjust, but at times he has only played two linebackers.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that when you got five that can play. Like, you got to get them on the field somehow. You know what?
Yeah. This is by a mile, right? You're talking about the best part of this defense. So yeah, I would imagine you want your best players out there, but you are a little hamstrung because you need everybody else here.
Right. So it's going to be interesting. Assuming Chaz Coleman's not there, we'll see maybe one of these linebackers be you know, it's just like a pass rusher extraordinaire. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, but that remains to be seen. All right, and then the next position group, give me defensive back, Shane. Ty Redmond, if you don't know the name now, shout out our buddy Steven Lassen about 2 months ago, said this is going to be the breakout candidate for Tennessee. He's already kind of broken out, but Steven meant nationally. He was a freshman All-American, Shane. Mm-hmm. Led the SEC as a true freshman with 15 passes defended.
Nice.
43 tackles, so he's a true sophomore, anchoring one of the corner spots. Idris Farouk was a starter last year, 76 tackles, 4 forced fumbles, 2 picks. He's back. And then they loaded up on transfers. That Quay Moss I was talking about, Shane?
Yeah.
513 snaps last year. Did not allow a touchdown in coverage at Kansas State.
Nice.
Ooh, so that's likely going to be the nickel for Tennessee. TJ Metcalf, shout out his dad. All Big Ten honorable mention. How about this, Shane? Started 13 games, allowed only one touchdown in coverage snaps last year. Tennessee just is not going to allow a touchdown this year, according to these guys. And again, Kalen Lee, that's another one. The Auburn transfer,
Yeah.
Did not allow a touchdown in coverage last year. So I don't know if Tennessee's defense could be scored on through the air this year. That's just
oh,
facts.
Oh, baby.
You know
the
what?
Blanket, the big orange blanket.
I mean, these are all factual information from their bios at Tennessee. So
I love it. I love it. Yeah. But I mean, you got to remember Tennessee 2 years ago, we had an elite defense, right? So we remember what that felt like. And so it's nice to see some studs up here on the board. Maybe they bring us back, Mike. I like that. The big orange blanket.
Do you need a quarterback, Shane, if the other team can't score on you?
No.
I don't think so.
Just run the football, run the clock out. What if Josh Heupel goes to, like, you know what I'm saying? A borderline option offense here.
Wing T?
Yeah, just let's run it. Let's run that clock.
All right. So then the last position group, and I feel bad putting this last because this is probably where you want to be the strongest, is defensive line.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talent there, Shane. I mean, Tyree Weathersby played 13 games last year. Davin Hobbs was a five-star. He's been banged up through a lot of his career. Need him to stay healthy. He played 8 games last year, had 3 sacks, 30 tackles. Nathan Robinson really came on last year. He played 13 games. Ethan Utley, he was a touted recruit, played 12 games last year, as a freshman. Mm-hmm. They got Isaiah Cable, was a 5-star last year. He's a true sophomore. He played in 8 games last year. So there's talent.
Yeah.
And then they added Xavier Gillum from Penn State. He looks to be anchored in as one of the starting defensive linemen. But where they are really, really missing is pass rush. Mm-hmm. And that's why they spent all that money. Yeah. Mr. didn't show up. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that very well could be the weakness that could be exploited by opposing offenses. They've got to manufacture a pass rush here.
They got to, right? They got to. And you got to be deep. Like, this is the one you need to be the deepest with. And, I'm obviously a little concerned with this. But, you know, Tennessee was young. Tennessee was one of the youngest, if not the youngest, team in the Southeastern Conference last year, you know? So there was a lot of kids that moved around that got opportunities to play. So maybe they will be able to do that with some of the youth coming in as well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out real quick. This is a strictly a Tennessee show, Shane.
But oh, shit.
We got all these nice Missouri donations. P5, appreciate you.
Oh.
Still savoring last time Missouri played Heupel.
Standing on business.
I love that game. The look on Heupel's face. Hey, Mizzou. And then Mizzou fan with the 20 donations, oh, Shane. Mizzou fan, and he added, we stayed on business. So I'm calling it now, Shane. Next Monday.
Yeah.
Or Tuesday. The next week. Missouri. We'll do the Missouri spring or fall. I'm all over the place. We're going to do the Missouri show.
Yes.
For P5 and Mizzou Fan 07, we appreciate you for those kind donations. So remember, we got Ole Miss tomorrow, and then the following one will be Missouri. So I just wanted to honor them for doing that. But let us not speak of Missouri again on this show. You know what?
Are they on the schedule?
No. All right. And then I almost left this off last time for Georgia. Yeah. Again. Kicker should be a strength, Shane. Shout out Cooper Ranveer. Hope I'm saying that right. The Louisville transfer, he was all ACC. He's made 21 of 25 field goal attempts. So he barely misses, Shane, barely. He's got 3 seasons of eligibility. And then they bring back Jackson Ross at punter.
Yeah.
He's ambidextrous. Do you know what that means, Shane?
Like, does with both. Yeah, he goes right or left.
You're so smart, Shane. He can kick it either way. It doesn't matter. So shout out Jackson Ross, 62 career punts, downed inside the 20. 62 downed inside the 20. And 22 career punts of 50 or plus more. So special teams should be a strength. I mean, I don't know if I see a weakness here, Shane.
I don't even know why we talked about a punter on this show.
All right, then let me recap real quick in case you missed it from about a month ago. Steven debuted these with us, the Athlon comments here. Just found it kind of interesting. Without a veteran quarterback in the system, you don't feel the same energy and excitement around that program. Every time we face them or versions of them, it all runs through the quarterback and how confident he is at stretching the field and how mobile he is. And then there's one more here. I'm not saying I agree with any of this, Shane, but having Joey Aguilar out of the not in the SEC, That's a good thing for us. They're improving at quarterback. Pivotal year for them to succeed. Don't think they'll be better. Ooh, they want to run the ball, but do they have enough threat downfield to open up the running lanes? The last time there was an extremely potent was when Alex Golish was there.
Jeez.
Ooh. So those coaches, not a fan of this preview, I can tell you.
Alex wrote that one. Just a reminder. Just a reminder. Place has really gone downhill since I left, you know?
All right, so here's a look, Shane, at the upcoming schedule for them Vols. They're 18-1 to win the Southeastern Conference Championship. They're 45-1 to win the National Championship, but a lot of winnable games here.
Yeah.
And I would say arguably three of the top four more challenging games.
Yes.
All at home. And I'm talking Texas, Bama, LSU, all at home. At A&M is going to be a tough one. At South Carolina is always a house of horrors, as is Arkansas and Fayetteville. But I don't know. I mean, I think this is a as easy is not the right word, but least challenging as you can possibly get in a 9-game SEC slate.
Mike, we talked about this when we were ranking the hardest and easiest schedules, and I'd venture to say Tennessee's more toward the easiest, right? Ooh. Compared to the other teams. It's not as easy as it was last year, but like you said, some of those pivotal matchups like Texas, like Alabama, like LSU, you got those at home, and that road game schedule. I would say that Tennessee has the easiest road games in this conference.
Right.
And look how spaced out. Another thing, and then I'll shut up about the schedule. You got 8 games, right? You knock those out, you get the bye right before November. I think that's a perfect place for Tennessee to get their shit together before they make maybe a potential playoff run.
Ooh. Shane really does have everybody going 12-0, it sounds like. All right. So let's get into, Shane, what I like to call the biggest fall camp questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously, quarterback kind of looms large. And so we'll find out about that. George McIntyre, Faison Brandon. There's a lot of talk that just the fact that George McIntyre does not have a sizable advantage exiting spring, it's a good sign for Faison Brandon. It very well could be, but I remain adamant, Shane, similar to that coach, even though they were so negative on Tennessee. I think Heupel is going to go with the guy that can push the ball down the field accurately because that opens up everything. And we got to get out of this narrative where it's, if it's tied, you go with the younger guy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't want to jinx anybody, right? But let's say Faison Brandon wins a starting job and he wins a Heisman this year, which is not going to happen, right? But that's like the ultimate success story. His ass could be gone the next year. It's not about, who's younger and this, that, and the other. You've got to play the guy. You must. Every coach, I think, you must play the guy that gives you the best chance to win on Saturday, regardless of how old they are.
And you got to be careful. It's a slippery slope with them young ones, You don't want to Bo Nix this thing and then him leave and then all of a sudden become elite quarterback in Oregon. We can't have that. So it is a tough decision, but I feel like, something we talked about, Josh Heupel. So fall camp question, that's my number one as well, Mike, is what does the quarterback look like and is this going to be something that vaults the ceiling or drops the floor, if you will?
Mm-hmm. And then I think obviously the other big question mark, Shane, how quickly can this Jim Knowles defense be implemented?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't implemented that quickly at Open State, and I've had to hear about it a million times this all season, but that wasn't a problem at Ohio State the year when he was there. So I think that's a slightly overplayed, but maybe slightly truth. So maybe somewhere in between, he's brought coaches with him. He didn't do that at Penn State. He's bringing players with him. He didn't do that at Penn State. So I do think they'll be able to speed up the process, but how much? That's going to be very, very interesting. And when I did this last one for Georgia, and I kind of liked it, so I'll start doing this for all of them. Two key statistics, Shane, that Tennessee needs to improve upon.
Yeah.
Last year, defense. 124th. Remember, there's only 130. 124th Tennessee was in red zone defensive touchdowns allowed. So 71% of the time that the opponent was getting to the red zone,
yeah,
they were scoring a touchdown. 71%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fine to let them get in there. Don't let them score every 7 out of 10. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's number one, has got to change, because that's this game now where you're going to get gashed for big plays, but you just cannot be giving up touchdowns 71% of the time in the red zone. That's got to change for the defense.
No special team Matt on the sideline for Tennessee. We just knew, right? They get into 20. Go ahead and get ready, boys. Line them up.
And then how about this is kind of good, but it's kind of a little weird to me. I think it speaks to how good of a coach Josh Heupel is. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's always here. Number two in the country, Shane, in scoring in the first quarter. I mean, it's like this every year, and it was like that last year. They scored over 12 points every first quarter, so nearly two touchdowns. But in the fourth quarter, only 6 points. Yeah. So, and that's 66 in the country. So that tells me they were kind of getting worn down, and they were not making the plays in the fourth quarter. You don't have to sustain it the whole game. I mean, right. If you sustain it the whole game, you're freaking LSU 2019 Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they got to do that, but you can't wilt either from first quarter to fourth quarter. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah. Good stats. I like that. I hate them at the time, but I understand where you're coming from.
All right, Shade, you ready to dive into win, loss, or toss?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of wins coming.
All right. So here's how I have it. And I'm trying to be as fair as I possibly can here. Win, loss,
big
or
money.
Toss.
No whammy.
For Tennessee. No. I'm seeing a lot of wins.
Ooh.
But I got a lot of tosses, too. So let me bring it back up, Shane. As for the wins,
mm-hmm.
I think we'll agree on most, if not all, of these. But for the should-be wins, Furman at home in the opener, at Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State at home, week three. I got Auburn at home, week five, at Arkansas. I got Kentucky to open November at home. And then I've got at Vanderbilt. So I have seven games right now, should be wins for Tennessee. Do you disagree with any of those seven?
No. I mean, the one I'm looking at, maybe a little harder than I should, is the South Carolina game. But other than that, I see no problems with the wins here.
Okay. So I have no should be losses. Yeah. 12-0, Shane? No, because I got five toss-ups.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could be critical for a team like Tennessee, because if you lose three or four of them, then you're saying, what the hell? You know, maybe we don't have us a coach. Texas at home, Bama at home, at Carolina, at A&M, LSU at home. I have all of those five games as toss-ups.
Yeah.
And I know you highlighted Carolina. And I get it. I think on paper, Tennessee should beat Carolina.
Yeah.
But I've said this 1,000 times. People are probably sick of me saying it. 8 games in 8 weeks for Tennessee. Carolina's got 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
So that I'm kind of factoring in all of that to say I think it's really a toss-up for Tennessee there.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do feel like it's going to be a close game. I'll be nervous as hell going into that one because it's one of those places that, listen, I mean, I was there in 22. I saw what happened the last time, you know? So there's a little bit of that PTSD floating around.
I think you still have it.
Yeah, I do. Honestly, if I'm being honest, man, Arkansas toss, Auburn a toss. There's a lot more tosses on here, probably.
All right, so you ready to get into the week-by-week predictions or like an optimistic outlook
here? Yes. I'm going to try to be optimistic for those Volunteers.
Okay. I do appreciate your suffering here. A week one. I mean, this is, I'm just calling it now, folks. I mean, obviously we know who's going to win, but Josh Heupel always does this where he tries to score 60, 70, 80 points. The Furman's going to be, and because he's got to see what he's got at quarterback. So this is a pick your score type game. You know what?
It is. It will be a fun one. It'll be an electric one, and there will be so many excited Vol fans after this Furman 70-point win.
Now, they were a 6-win team last year, Shane, but then I looked and they lost to Western Carolina 52-7. Yeah. That was the last. I was like, okay, that's all enough. Right. All right, week two now. A little bit of a – it's probably too early to be a trap game, but
at but you'll Georgia never Tech. Look it. Yeah.
Won 9 games last year, pushed Georgia to the damn brink over there.
Yeah.
But they lose their offense coordinator, lose their quarterback, and hell, even the backup quarterback that they were going to insert, he left with the coordinator to Florida. So we're starting over. They got Mendoza's little brother. So that's kind of interesting. But he is going to be in for a nightmare, Shane, when this Jim Knowles defense comes to wreck his ass. Rambling wreck, get the hell out of here. I think Tennessee's going to run all over Georgia Tech.
Yeah, this is a classic win by 70, up by 7 at half kind of game. You know what I'm saying? Like, wait, what? So I do worry about the hangover effect of a big win against Georgia Tech. This is not an easy game. This is one that, say what you want. I like Tech's coach. He's going to want to slow this thing down. He's going to do everything he can. And getting Tech early, I feel like, is beneficial for Georgia Tech. But Tennessee's got too much firepower. They end up winning this thing. This is where you really start seeing those offensive line just making that push. So give me a big win for Tennessee Vols in the fourth quarter.
I think the only way Tennessee drops that one is if quarterbacks make a bunch of mistakes. Like maybe they're not ready. You know, you go Furman and you score as many as you want. You think you got it all figured out. Then you're playing a real opponent and you're like,
yeah,
it was a little bit harder than I thought, you know?
Situational stuff. Like, if you talk about red zone efficiency, not just defense, but offense. But every time you get in there and then you walk away with 0 points top game, we can't have that. That's just one that I feel like Tennessee, again, I feel like it'll be close right now, but at the end, Tennessee will pull away.
And then week three, come back home for Kennesaw State. They won 10 games last year, Shane.
Yeah.
Not this year. Get the hell out of here. 3-0. Rock on old Rocky Top.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, Kennesaw got his ass whooped. So, that is not going to be. Is that like a homecoming probably? I don't know. Seems like it should be. But Tennessee's 3-0 right now.
All right. So then that sets up a epic showdown. The battle for UT. Arch coming to town. Sarkisian coming to town. Texas is all in on this season. Tennessee. You know, this could be a game, Shane, where if Tennessee knocks off Texas, I think it, you know, similar to last year, Georgia, even Tennessee didn't even win that game, but it kind of changed the narrative of what Tennessee could be. People were getting hyped and excited. I think people will be, I mean, I think the bandwagon may break down if old Tennessee beats Texas. You know what? Yeah. In Neyland Stadium, Tennessee dropped a couple home games last year. They've got to get that mojo back. It's still an elite. I don't blame the fans. I blame the team more than anything. But got to get back, and you get back to being on all these lists as a, you know, arguably the toughest place to play in college football by whipping Texas ass. No, it ain't happening. Come on, Shane. Maybe if it was later in the season and we knew what they had at quarterback, we could go punch for punch with Arch Manning and Cam Coleman and all these guys. But I think that's too much to ask.
You think there's a lot of orange in this preview? Wait till you see this football game, right? They might as well do an orange out. There's going to be so much going on here. This is going to be an awesome, awesome game. I'm looking forward to it. The battle of the real UTs, right? Parent cams. Peyton Cam will be, I say, at least 15 times we're going to see Peyton Manning.
I don't think Peyton's going to come.
I think he'll be there, and he'll be wearing orange. I feel like he'll embrace it, you know, Tennessee orange, that is. So, but it's going to be a really good game, and I really would love to have had Texas later in the year. I feel like this could have been, because I got to have some losses here. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have Tennessee going undefeated. Even optimistically, I feel like there's a couple of games that are just in a terrible spot. So, I'm going to say Tennessee gets their first loss here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's reasonable. All right, and now you don't want the classic one game beats you twice.
Right.
Because here comes Auburn, Shane. Mm-hmm. And Golish, oof. Golish is telling Athlon and Tennessee ain't the same without him. He didn't say that. But, you know, Byron Brown, I think, I'm telling you guys, I think he's going to be the breakout star in the Southeastern Conference this year. I think he could put up ridiculous numbers. So if it's a little bit of a shootout, that's a dangerous, dangerous place. You know, don't sleep on Auburn's defense. Uh-huh. DJ Durkin, you know, he had that unit playing extremely well last season. How quickly can Golish get this thing going? I mean, this could be the signature win of the Golish era right here. It's going to be a signature loss. Get the hell out of here, Junior. Get out of here. Get back here. Kiss the rings. You wouldn't have that damn job without Heupel, and you know it.
No, I know. And it's going to be, I feel like this could be a really good game. Don't be surprised if Auburn isn't up 7-0. And then all of a sudden we're like, wait, like you said, don't let it beat you twice. And this is going to be a really, really tough football game, but Tennessee, again, too much talent for Auburn. Even though it's on the Plains, I feel like.
No, it's a home game.
Home game. It'd be nice to see Golish. I'm sure they'll be, you know, kissing babies before this thing. But I would like to see Tennessee blow them out of the water. So give me a win here.
Yeah. But again, I think it could be a really competitive ball game.
Brother, it could be like a 42-35 type game, you know?
Bet the over for sure. All right, how about the next one, Shane? Ooh, traveling to Fayette Nahum and Silver Fox. Ooh, Tennessee beat Arkansas last year, but completely different Arkansas with Petrino and company and Taylen Green, 34-31. But Arkansas had won the previous four matchups prior to that game. And like I said, I mean, there's been a plenty of good Tennessee teams better than Arkansas that lose to Arkansas. So that mojo's got to be there. And hey, all the nice things we said about Heupel here, Shane.
Yeah.
He has dropped some games he had no business dropping. Uh-oh, upset. Ooh. Wait, wrong one here. I think the upset's going to be Ty. Come on. I mean, you can't lose the Silver Fox. You know what?
No, you can't. But too bad we can't play music on here, because it'd be a great time to cue up Fortunate Son. Like you said, just there's something with those Razorbacks that are a thorn in our side. And there's 9 times out of 10, Mike, Tennessee's going to win this football game. But there is that one that sits out there, and this could be Silver Fox's biggest victory of the year. I don't think it happens. Give me Tennessee Vols pretty big here.
Now, the next game's massive, Shane. At home, mm-hmm. Alabama.
Yeah.
Heupel's not lost to Alabama at home. Interesting. And again, I'm not one that's very high on Alabama, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a chance Alabama's got a worse record than Tennessee coming into this thing. I can't recall the last time that's happened, but I don't think that's totally unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's going to be necessarily like a cakewalk by any means, but I do think this is a game that'll define the season for Tennessee. They've made this thing a rivalry, and they may just get Kalen DeBoer fired. Come on, Tennessee, win it at home. Heupel doesn't lose to Alabama at Neyland Stadium. I think Tennessee gets it done.
No, again, optimistically, Mike, like you said, Josh Heupel's 2-3 against the Crimson Tide. This is a rivalry again, and we're going to continue it being a rivalry with a big win for the Big Orange Balls. Third Saturday in October, this is going to be a great game, getting Tennessee back on track. You're right. If Alabama does take a step back, I feel like it's a perfect opportunity for Tennessee to beat them this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Optimistically.
I mean, if imagine if Alabama takes a step back and they still beat Tennessee, though.
Stop it. No, stop it. You can't do that.
Man, that'd be tough.
A three-loss DeBoer just whoops the shit out of us.
All right, the follow. Now, again, this is the trap game for me, Shane. At Carolina, Tennessee's beaten Carolina four of the last five. Of course, we know the one they didn't was playoff spot on the line, and they got smoked. I didn't play the last 2 years, which is unfortunate because Carolina and Tennessee had been building the nice little rivalry here, Heupel and Beamer. There's a lot that could be said about this series and these fans that go back and forth, but I'm still kind of in wait-and-see mode with old Carolina, where they could have a really good year.
Yeah.
But they could get their ass handed to them by them. Vols, come on, Shane. Give me Tennessee beating Carolina, then headed to a much-needed bye.
Yeah, this would going to be a tough environment. Hopefully, I don't think they've done the time yet on this game, so hopefully they'll make it noon-ish. We can go over there. Early game, I like Tennessee big. Late game, I feel like it will be close, but Tennessee comes out on top. Give me a win.
All right, then the following game, Kentucky. Yeah. First of the Will Stein era, Shane.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks to prepare. Kentucky has lost to Tennessee five in a row.
Yep.
They lost 38 of 41 to Tennessee. But that's why you hire Will Stein, right? To turn the page. It was Mark Stoops and that defense. They couldn't stop Heupel to save their life. I bet you this new Kentucky, I mean, they can't be much worse against Tennessee than old Stoops and company were. So I think that could be a changing.
Yeah.
Upset, Shane.
Mm-mm.
Nick Roush upset. Get the hell out of here. Tennessee's whooping their ass in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. All this fine Kentucky bourbon behind me. I mean, I got all this King Snake, this Tennessee legend. I can't wait to send to some of those cousins up there, but I'm not going to have to. Actually, because Tennessee's going to get another big win here. Sorry, Nick.
Yeah. All right. Ooh, following week, Shane. At A&M.
Yeah.
And this, if it plays out the way we've laid it out, this is going to be a huge game. Could be college game day. Could be a playoff spot in the line. A&M, best record in the Southeastern Conference last year.
Mm-hmm.
Made it to the playoff. I think they have the roster to get back there. I think they've got the coaching to get back there. This may be the toughest game of the entire season for Tennessee. This one's for you, Billy. I think A&M's too tough to beat at home. Give me a loss there for Tennessee.
Oh, Mike, I go round and round with these, and I'm not trying to get ahead here, but these next two games, you know, and I'm thinking optimistically, what's best case scenario? If we can walk away with one win out of these two, I think Vol fans would be extremely happy. So which one's least likely to happen? The fact that we're going to be down there most likely will be Tennessee at College Station. So give me the road game as a loss as well.
All right. So then, man, imagine LSU coming to town, especially if they have the same record as Tennessee or better, but particularly if they have the same record, because this could be literally a playoff game. Kiffin, Heupel, Rocky Top. Man, we're going to have to see so many of the highlights of the golf balls and the mustard bottle, and let's hope none of that happens again. But man, what an epic clash this would be. And you know, we talked about Golish coming to Tennessee and the pressure there. There's also pressure, I would think, on Heupel against Kiffin, another former Tennessee head coach, of course, in year one. There's a lot of sneaky, I don't want to say hot seat games, but sneaky, you know, games where Heupel really needs to make a statement and beat the man that quit on his team, Shane. And I think he might quit on the playoff on this one because they're losing, Shane. Give me Tennessee to beat LSU. Maybe if this was year two, year three for LSU, I just think LSU's slightly overrated. I've kind of been saying that all offseason. Doesn't mean they won't be awesome. And they're probably better to get them early than it is late.
Yeah.
But I just personally, I don't have LSU as his top 10 team yet. So that's a big reason why I think Tennessee beats him.
And I do think that Tennessee will be better by the end of the year. You know, you look at some of that development they did last year with those freshmen. We're going to have the same deal with freshmen and sophomores this year. I just feel like Tennessee will be deeper by the time we get to the end of the season. Now, that being said, I went back and forth between the Texas A&M and LSU game. I do feel like best case scenario, we win one of those, and it's going to be at home. And it's going to be with, like you said, mustard bottles and golf balls and get your damn popcorn ready. Tennessee getting a big one here, finally whooping up on Lane Kiffin. So give me a big win for Tennessee.
All right, and then final regular season game at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Revenge game, Shane. Commodores whooped Tennessee's ass 45-24 last season with the smallest, mightiest heart in the land, but he ain't there to save them this year, Shane. Give me them balls. It's not going to be close. 10-2. I think this is a realistic record.
Yeah.
That Tennessee could be walking into this fall.
Yeah, they'll probably do a whole bunch of stuff too, like have Pavia back. Mom will probably be on the sideline. Theo, you know, crowd surfing, but I don't think it matters. Tennessee wins big, you know, takes the belt back. So give me Vols going 10-2, best case scenario.
Ooh.
Playoffs.
So let's talk about most important game, Shane. Again, there's a lot to pick from here.
Mm-hmm.
But you let me know if I nailed it or if I missed it. I got Bama at home. I think that's the most important game of the schedule, where it's at, you know, it being winnable. It could be one that kind of defines whether you make the playoff or not. I think the Texas game, you know, I think Texas is better than all three of these teams, but it's early.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's kind of my rationale. I think you could bounce back from Texas, but also at the same time, if you beat Texas, that could catapult you to, you know, top 10 status. So it's an important game either way you slice it. And then that LSU game, that's number three for me. Dude, thoughts on these?
I would probably move LSU up to the second spot, and I go round and around on Texas. And it's not that I don't think it's an important game, but I don't think it's a necessary game, right? I don't think it's one that we're looking at the end of the season saying this is the reason the Vols got in, this is the reason the Vols got left out. Mm-hmm. I tell you, that game after it scares me a little bit, and that's you know, going to Auburn. Auburn coming to town. It's just one that I feel like Tennessee drops that one game every year, it feels like, right? The one that just slips away, and it's in a perfect spot. So you got to be careful with that Auburn one. So that one I've considered. On the road to South Carolina is another one that I would also throw in the mix. So I hate to take the cheap answer here, but I do think that there's a few pivotal matchups that you could put in that three spot, and you really can't go wrong with whoever you put there.
Okay, we got six.
Six.
Most important three games. Gotcha.
They're all important. Every game. One game at a time, as the coach says.
That's the worst answer. All right, last thing we always do. Confidence scale 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee makes the playoff. In not as a homer, but just kind of your realistic 1 being low, 10 being high confidence. Tennessee makes the playoff.
3.5.
That's very specific.
Yeah. I wanted to say four, but again, I'm trying to rationale. I don't think a 9-3 team as a Tennessee team gets in.
Here's the answer, Shane. 12.
9.8.
Now, here's the thing, Shane. And again, we don't really know. I mean, we sit here and talk about this for months and months and months.
Right.
And a schedule that is, we think is easy.
Yeah.
Like just you know, let's say Silver Fox is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Arkansas is going to win 10 games, but let's say they win 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Let's say Golish immediately turns around Auburn. Let's say Beamer saves his job and Sellers clicks and all that. And let's say Will Stein is the real deal. You know,
yeah.
There's many things you could sit here and then by the end of the year be like, God, Tennessee played a damn gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
But as we're sitting here today, if we're going to call this an relatively easy for SEC standard schedule, I don't think 9-3 is going to cut it. Does that make sense? Where
yeah.
If you lose, let's say Texas, let's say you lose A&M and LSU, or sub any of those out for Bama.
Yeah.
I don't know that Tennessee is getting in, because I don't know at 9-3 if this is a schedule worthy of making the playoff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I feel like kind of that, if you're doing that schedule battle, it feels like Tennessee's going to have to lose early. So the Texas, let's say, God forbid, an Auburn and an Alabama, right? Let's just say that happens. But you would need something special to happen. You would need South Carolina to be special. You would need A&M to be, you know, being talked about as an SEC championship contender, or Vanderbilt sitting there at 9-3, 8-4. You know, you're going to have some pretty big wins toward the end to get in there. So I just don't see it. June 10th. I don't see that schedule being tough, but like you said, that all changes here in about 4 months. Right. Every time. LSU, now, we were saying this last year, LSU should be a playoff contender, and then they fire their coach, and then Vanderbilt sit there 10-2, whooping her ass in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's not the case for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Texas playing Ohio State, Oklahoma playing Michigan. There's many other examples. If they go 9-3, I think there's a strong case for those to get in the playoff.
Yeah.
Now we'll have to see, you know, who are the three, who are the nine? Are there any blowouts in there? You know, there's a lot that goes into it, but so 3.5 Tennessee. So you were so optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the reality sunk in, huh?
Yeah, battered ball syndrome. You know?
All right, well, hey, let's put a bow on this one.
Yeah.
We got Ole Miss coming up tomorrow. Anything else before we hop off?
No, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much. I'm probably going to call in tomorrow, but just kidding. I'll be here. It's good. It's good to talk small ball. And I honestly, after this preview, I feel better. I feel better about them Tennessee balls. Thank you, Mike, for all the work and effort you put into this thing.
Hey, that's all we're trying to do, right? We're trying to make you feel better. Everybody feel better about their teams and be more knowledgeable about these teams. And, hey, I think I started early enough this year. We're going to be able to hit them all. So, fingers crossed, that's how we get it done. But until then, we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.